The next level, steps to living an upper room life. Turn with me your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read one verse of scripture and I'll elaborate on this a little later on. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Here's what it says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Lord, we just thank you today for the privilege of opening your word, and I pray that it would find a spot in every one of our hearts and change us and impact us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We ask you to come upon us like the book of Acts describes, so that we could have this power and be your witnesses in this day that we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Bill Bright says these words, through the centuries, many of Christ's followers have been ordinary people. Nothing spectacular happened to them or through them. Then, as happened to Peter on the day of Pentecost when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, their lives were dramatically changed. No longer ordinary or average, they became men and women of God, bold in faith and instruments of God's power. Have you ever been in a frustrating situation where you knew you could use a little more power? Anybody? Yeah? Jesus knew that we would need to tap into some serious power in order to be totally and fully successful, didn't he? Let me ask you a very serious question this morning. I do wonder sometimes how many believers are existing in Christianity without tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the heartbeat and the essence of our Christian faith, our Christian walk, is the fact that the person and the power of the Holy Spirit indwells us. We have Jesus that's our Savior, and we have the Holy Spirit that's our power. In fact, one of the greatest principles that Jesus desired to leave with his disciples was the promise of the Holy Spirit, not just as a companion, not just as a person or something that gives us emotional tingles once in a while, but as someone that would live inside of us and give us power, one that would convict us, lead us, guide us, release the gifts of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need power. Would you say that with me? We need power. Say it again. We need power. You see, after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the 11 disciples were confused, alone, and needing some picking up. Anybody here ever need some picking up? Let me see your hand. Yeah, I need some picking up. Jesus, we know, was on the earth several days after he rose from the dead, and he actually appears to his disciples. And we read what Jesus told them in Luke 24:49. He says this, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city, referring to Jerusalem, until you have been clothed with power from on high. Again in Acts 1, 4, and 5, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This being baptized or being filled with the Spirit is a direct promise from Jesus to his disciples. It was a next level experience. It was going to be a release of the power of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. When the disciples were originally sent out to preach, there were restrictions put on them. Matthew 10, 5 and 6 says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Their commission was very limited. They were not to go and preach to the Gentiles. They weren't to go to any of the city of the Samaritans, but just preach the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we know from our Acts 1:8 text that their commission is being greatly enlarged. After the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon them, they are now to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the rest of the world. Last Sunday, Pastor Mike talked about going up to the upper room and bowing down or yielding to the Holy Spirit. And going up is great. But what about leaving the upper room? What happens when we come down the steps and put our feet on the ground again? You see, the 120 couldn't stay up there forever. And at some point, in fact, it was that day they came down. You see, in order to experience the full dynamic of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we must leave the upper room. And it's one thing to go up the stairs and go into the upper room, and the perspective changes greatly when you go upstairs. But in order to fulfill the full potential of what God had intended for the New Testament church, they had to walk down the stairs and put their feet on the ground again. And for me, that is the full picture of what the Holy Spirit desires to do in each of us today, is not to stay in the upper room, but to walk down the stairs and fulfill the Great Commission. In fact, the upper room has no value at all if we never leave. Did you hear me today? It has no value at all if we never leave it. Steps were made to walk up. Steps were made to walk down. And today I want to share with you the steps down in living at the next level. The first step down is facing the people. The first thing that the disciples have to do, led by Peter, is to defend and perhaps give explanation of what just took place in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, when cloven tongues of fire and new languages and new tongues were experienced. And so verse 5 of Acts 2 says, "Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" Verse 13, "Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" Notice that it was identified where the people in the upper room came from. They were Galileans. In other words, the people who were hearing this knew it was impossible for them to be speaking in another tongue, another language. In fact, it was about 15 different languages being spoken that day from people that came from Galilee who had never learned this tongue before. Verse 12 says, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" You see, there are things that will take place in your life, in the spirit, that people are just not going to understand. People are going to question whether or not you are off your rocker. Are you hearing me today? You did what? When? Where? For how long? In your car? What? There are things that will be evident upon your countenance, in your actions, and heard in the words that come from your mouth that will cause others to talk, and some of it will be good, and some of it will be bad. It's at these moments where all of us have a choice to make. We see it in Jesus. We see it, and we certainly saw it in Stephen when he was stoned in Acts 7. We see it in the Apostle Paul. We see it in Timothy, and we see it here with Peter and the 120. The choice is to get upset with them for their lack of understanding, or we can choose to love them for their lack of understanding. Verse 13 says, some made fun of them. Look to the person beside you and say, some made fun of them. Let me ask you this question today. Have you ever had someone make fun of you? I mean, for real, make fun of you. Yeah, how many hands are going up? Let me see your hand. Come on, don't lie to me this morning. We're in church. Yeah. Have you ever walked into a room and just knew that people were laughing at you? Come on. It really isn't a pleasant feeling, is it? When you know you're being mocked and ridiculed and made fun of at somebody else's expense. Or your expense, I guess. Doesn't matter what just happened to you, it rarely feels good to be mocked or accused, does it? But here's the real challenge this morning. When we walk down the steps from our upper room experience, we will have had a change and will have received a power from the Holy Spirit that now has to be demonstrated in practical and real expression. It's called unconditional love. Loving people in spite of what they say, in spite of what they do. You see, if you come down the stairs from your upper room experience and nothing has changed, why go up there in the first place? Are you hearing me today, church? It's become a brand new world for this 120 people who were basically restricted to proclaiming Christ to the Jews in Israel. Now multiple nations have gathered and hear what God has done in their lives by way of physical demonstration, an unknown tongue. When we as followers of Christ encounter people, how we treat them, how we love them, what we say to them will determine whether or not we have had a genuine experience with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And I see a lot of phony experiences with God. Are you hearing me, church? I'm talking about a genuine experience with God. How we treat people, how we love people, what we say to them will determine whether or not our experience with God was genuine. Staying in the upper room with people of like mind, like purpose, like origin, like language, like nationality can be somewhat easy. But it's the people who do not have anything like with us where the real proof of a true next level upper room living experience must be demonstrated. It's practical living at its best. Coming down the stairs to meet ordinary people is where our experience with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit is really put to the test. And I'm not talking about perfection today, but certainly I am talking about change of character, change of heart, change of nature, being quick to forgive, quick to give another chance, quick to love. One of the things the Apostle Paul said, and I love this text, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, was this: if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. We can be as spiritual as we want to be. If we don't love people, it's all in vain. In other words, if we do not love people after we have had an experience with the person of the Holy Spirit, all it is a lot of noise. Facing the people with the love of Christ must be priority and above all else. Loving people with the love of Christ is a clear indication that something has changed inside of us. Fulfilling the promise of Acts 1 verse 8 has to be lived out practically and lovingly towards real people who need Jesus. Amen? Amen? The first step down is facing people. The second step down is finding the opportunity to minister. For the first time in their lives, after the promise of the Holy Spirit has been fulfilled, they not only face the naysayers to what God has just done, but there is this urge to defend Christ. Not defend him in an argumentative way, but to defend him in a truthful way. One of the first things Peter says is a fulfillment to prophecy. People had accused them of being drunk, and Peter says it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then these words are found in verse 16. It says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. The first thing he does is defend what God just did by using scripture. And Peter immediately connects to his fellow Jew by sharing an Old Testament scripture with them. He begins to validate what the Lord has spoken and what the Lord has done. In fact, he quotes Joel chapter 2 for them. And Peter leaves the upper room and preaches to those people who have been criticizing the events that have just taken place and are wondering what in the world's going on. And we read in Acts 2, the later part of it, Peter preaching. And then this happens in verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. First of all, this is not normal behavior for Peter. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Normally, Peter would have thrown some kind of tantrum. Maybe administered a physical beating, perhaps. Just a few days ago, in fact, he wouldn't even admit he was a follower of Christ. Just a few days ago, 3 times he denied Jesus. And now on the day of Pentecost, not only defends him with scripture, but begins to preach the gospel, the good news about this one he loves called Jesus. And we see 3,000 people coming to Christ. In fact, not only did Peter deny him, but the third time he even cursed, the scriptures say. But because of his upper room experience, next level experience with the Holy Spirit, he has changed. Something has taken place on the inside. Peter's nature is different. It's new. Peter has been given the Holy Spirit power and the Holy Spirit boldness. And the first desire in his spirit is to tell someone about Christ. The first thing he does is preaches. Our North American culture, when we have an experience with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that most people do is they look for another experience with the Holy Spirit. And that's not scriptural. Scriptural principle says when you have the power from the Holy Spirit, be his witness. Be his witness. I love this text, actually, this whole story. The first thing Peter does, preaches. A good indication that we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or we have had an experience with the Holy Spirit, is our desire to share the good news, our desire to minister to people. Let me share with you a life lesson. If you get nothing else out of it, listen to this. Leaving the upper room full of the Spirit will launch us into ministry. It will be about other people coming to know Christ and being set free. It will launch us into ministry. Isn't this the beginning of the fulfillment of the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew 28? We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In fact, there are four distinct challenges here in Matthew 28. Number one is go, number two is make, number three is baptize, number four is teach. They all come to pass in the book of Acts. Once the 120 walk down those steps, they fulfill their upper room experience by leaving the upper room. Without leaving the upper room to face people and to find the opportunity to minister, this great commission would never have been fulfilled. If you continue on to read in the book of Acts, you will come to Acts chapter 4, where once again we see Peter preaching and exposing people to the person of the Holy Spirit by way of personal ministry. Acts 4:4, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Peter preaching in Acts 2, we see 3,000 converts. Peter preaching in Acts 4, we see 5,000 converts. Walking down the steps that lead from the upper room is as important as walking up those steps. Our Bible reading, our prayer times, our worship times, our church-going times are really only as good as the application that is expressed to others through our ministry to them. In other words, if there's no fruit of what we are doing, what's the point? If nothing ever changes, why do all this? If there's no fruit, what's the point? The person and the power of the Holy Spirit was never given so the believer in Christ could get more of him. The Holy Spirit was given so the believer in Christ could give more of him away to the people who need it. Walking down the steps to face people and find ministry is key to experiencing the full measure of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Leaving the upper room completes the work of the Holy Spirit baptism. Now, throughout the book of Acts, we witness and we read about five different occasions of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with a few other overtones, but we'll give you five quickly. Of course, we have Acts 2, verse 4, the day of Pentecost. Acts 10, 44 to 46, we read about the household of Cornelius. He's the first Gentile believer. It was here that Jews were astonished that Gentile believers were speaking in tongues and that the Holy Spirit could actually fall upon people that were not Jews. They were amazed by this. Acts chapter 19, verse 6, a group of disciples in Ephesus experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 15 to 19, Simon the sorcerer seized Peter's ministry in Samaria, just 8 chapters in, and we see Peter fulfilling part of the call in Acts 1:8 to be Christ's witness in Samaria. Acts chapter 9, verse 17, we read about Saul's conversion and his experience with the Holy Spirit. It's this conversion and experience with the Holy Ghost that will begin to bring the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Without coming down those steps in Acts 2, the rest of Acts would have never taken place. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is still for today. It's still for all believers. It's still for you and for me. It's still for your children and all generations to come. Acts 2:39 says it best. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And Mark 16, verse 17, And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. What's the purpose for going up and down the steps that lead to the upper room? It isn't to speak in an unknown tongue, I can tell you that. However, that is the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's an evidence. It isn't the purpose. The purpose, to receive power to become His witnesses. Would you say that with me, if you remember it? To receive power to become His witnesses. Let's say it one more time. To receive power to become His witnesses. I believe that's done with or without words, by the way. Let me close today with these few thoughts. Let me reread to you Acts 1:8 with a modern P-Town paraphrase. Can I do that? Is that all right? Is it okay? Okay, it's on the screen already. But you will receive power. Actually, you know what? Why don't you read it with me? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Petrolia and in all Ontario and Canada and to the ends of the earth. Did you hear it today? Petrolia. Who's telling people about Jesus in our town? Oh, my heart breaks for this town. Let me read it to you one more time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, and listen, let these words grip your heart today. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Petrolia and in all Ontario, in Canada. God, we need it in Canada. And to the ends of the earth. I just met with the pastor this past week who was telling me about the country of China. There are 140 million believers in China. It used to be 1,000 converts a day. They've surpassed that. And all the while I was hearing him tell me about China, I was thinking about our own country of Canada. God, do it here. God, do it here. Do it in our town of Petrolia. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Petrolia. Right here. What kind of power will we receive? Power in our witnessing, Acts 1:8, Acts 4. Power in our praying, Romans 8, Ephesians 6. Power in our overcoming, Romans 8. Power in our worshiping, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 5. Power in our experience of God's supernatural ways, 1 Corinthians 12, Mark 16. Power in our growing, 2 Peter chapter 1. And power in our understanding of the Bible, John 14 and John 16. Just by way of review before we pray this morning, next level, upper room experience is about going to the upper room, first of all. You got to walk up those stairs. In other words, you have to take time and be intentional about being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You got to do it on purpose, and you got to wait until He's finished with you. And secondly, it's about submitting to the Holy Spirit. When you're up in that upper room, you wait, and like the old Pentecostal word, you have to tarry. How many remember that word? You got to tarry in His presence. It's not instant. Going to the upper room, submitting to the Holy Spirit. The third level is about coming down the stairs to face the people with the love that the Holy Spirit gives you. And the fourth level is about finding the opportunities to minister, to share the good news of Christ, to tell somebody that Jesus loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. Those are the four levels of next level upper room experience. Let's pray.